super fluffy. Odin and this body, is not. Yeah. I think that's why I like it.
Mm. Yeah, this is like a hazy APA.
I like the hop blend on this. Like that mm-hmm. galaxy kind of jumps out to me.
Yeah, it just... is there mosaic in this? Because it tastes like it.
No.
No, just galaxy.
Galaxy, El Dorado,
and Idaho 7, yeah.
I don't know. It just feels very muted and watery to me. You know, I would definitely serve this to an Arkansas football fan.
Does it pair well with nose? It
has an affinity towards a little bit of nose.
Yeah.
You know, I think this strikes me as a beer that somebody would try and really wouldn't know the difference between something that's good and not good. You know, that would be it. And I don't think this is good. I think, yeah, no.
I think this is...
I don't
is,
like this beer.
I think this is would go really well with crab, though. Like, and lobster and seafood, you know,
I'd
like...
I'd rather have that oatmeal stout. Yeah.
Sure.
Mike, we're not talking about that beer anymore. We're talking about this beer.
However, I think for the uneducated, this is a nice mm-hmm. gateway.
Yeah.
You know, to...
Easy drinking.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Nothing offensive.
They don't right. all have to, like, challenge your palate. You know, sometimes it can just be
watery,
a tasty little beer. You know what? All beers are about 90% water. So, Reverend Mark, what do you think?
What I think is that it is not exploding with any pungentness, as far as I can tell.
It ain't exploding on you?
Ain't exploding on me.
And yet a NEPA should boom, I think, just... have the boom, boom, boom in it, you know, and it's just...
The boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, it just doesn't have it. I'm what? Sorry, you know.
It's not going to the boom, boom room boom. With Mike.
The boom, okay. boom room.
No, that yeah. just reminded me of something. I totally blanked on what it was. Who was... What was that band?
Fergie.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Black Eyed Peas.
Black Eyed
yeah.
Peas,
yeah. Yes. Yeah. He went right. a little Black Eyed Peas on his hair.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, I was watching that. You know, the Saturday Night Live
oh,
show.
Oh, yeah, that last episode night. Last yeah, night.
Last
yeah.
night. That's
yeah.
what got me, yeah.
That show's still on? Wow, head. That's
yeah.
weird.
Yeah. yeah.
I know. We haven't watched it in years.
Most people haven't, honey, but it's okay.
Well, but they do.
I guess.
I do. Every
apparently,
week.
Apparently.
Kendall's yeah. a hipster, though.
Well, yeah. I hope they get less watery. So that's all I got to say.
Okay. We are going to rate this one from Elder Pine
a 7 or 3. Keep trying, Elder Pine.
Yeah, that's some body to it all.
Well, we'll be back with more beer in just a minute. It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt. On the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for staying with us. Today, we are taking a tour of Maryland, and we have been talking about various beers from various breweries from Maryland. So, next up is me, and I am going to pick the letter E, because why not? And that's the Buckashuck Helles Lager from Crooked Crab in Odenton, Maryland.
You had me at Helles Lager.
Yeah, I was about to say, okay. I know somebody here at the table that loves Helles Lagers.
It's a collab with their friends at Crooked Run Fermentation. 4.8% ABV. It's a Munich-style pale lager Brewed with local Bear Branch malts for a balanced sweetness and refreshing finish that pairs well with picking crabs and shucking oysters.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
because
yeah.
why not?
Now, they also did the Totes My Oats.
They did.
Oatmeal Stout. Yes. So,
I'm liking this brewery.
Yeah. Yeah, I am too.
It's another crooked brewery. There's a bunch of crooked breweries out there, but never heard of a crooked crab, but
crooked
I like them.
Crooked Stave, Crooked Crab.
Crooked Letter.
Crooked Letter, yeah.
I think the first thing that strikes me is that this, when somebody says Helles Lager to me, again, I'm on guard for this is going to be too sweet. And that's what I love about this beer is that it is very... in check. It's even a tad bit dry.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not mad about that.
Yeah. No, not at all. Yeah. And yeah. I think beautiful. That pairing, you know, specifically, you know, with Maryland crab and some good, you know, bay, Old Bay is right on target. I could see they're sitting with a bunch of newspapers and popping crab for 2 hours and, you know, enjoying a very nice picture of this.
Yeah, yeah, I'm liking this because to me, a Helles is just beer flavored beer. Helles is beer, even to me,
should
more so than Pilsner
when it's done right.
Yeah,
it's got a great malty breadiness. There's enough hops there to balance it out, but it's not.
Well, he said he was
bitter.
There for the bad accents and the long belches. Yeah, so
he's doing his job today.
This is a really well executed Helles, and I'm enjoying it.
I think so too, and also the and it's not low ABV for the style, but it, you know, under 5%, you could drink a big stein of this and just the flavor would just cascade. It wouldn't, you know, oh gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
I mean,
this is my favorite.
You can't say that enough. Yeah. That's perfect. Actually, the way it does kind of cascade, but in such a good way. And in this day of all the excessiveness that we tend to have, it's so nice to have something.
So,
yeah,
that's why it's even more special because there's not a lot of things bad flavors to hide behind.
No, you got to get it right.
This is what you drink after you've had a dessert stout.
Just to
clear everything out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Well,
these guys are great brewers. So
I really love this beer, you know, and again, it's this style that you really have to walk a fine line. When somebody says, I'm making a lager, first, you're thinking something that's fairly crisp, a tad dry. But then, you know, when somebody says, I'm making a Helles or a Vienna, you're like, ooh, how sugary is this going to get?
I know. You know? Like, and you have reservations about it.
My radar goes up and I go, don't get carried away with it, you know, too much. Just, you know, kind of keep it all there in check, you know. That would be really great. So I like this for what it's not, which is... It's not overdone. It's absolutely within style all the way.
Why do you think some Helles lagers are too sweet? They just don't let it finish, or they just don't.
I think it
do the ingredients correctly, or like I don't know.
The ones I've had, I think they've used a little too much malt, get it sweet, and they don't use enough hops because, you know, they're afraid that, okay, if I make this too hoppy, it'll taste like a Pilsner. So they don't use enough hops. But if you don't use enough to balance out that sweetness,
you still
get a sugar bomb.
Yeah.
For those of you that are wondering how to make a really good one, give these guys a call.
Go to
class on them. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That is good.
Yep. This is the best beer of the flight I've had so far.
Okay. Yeah, we are going to rate this one a 5.
I can't believe that I said to Aaron, I would go, I'm going to rate it a little longer, a 5 today.
Wow.
That's saying a lot. That.
Yeah.
Because we love their Totes My Oats.
Hey, they're going 2 for 2, so I'm definitely giving them the legs up in this mixed flight for sure.
Okay. So, Kendall.
Well, I've already picked twice. I picked 2 beers already.
Well, but you picked... No, so go ahead.
We cheated you.
So, right. So, we've done B,
yep.
C, E, F, G, yep. and I.
Let's go in the middle with D.
D. Oh, funny that you say that. Pills, boy, Baggins.
Oh, there we go. Also from Crooked Crab, so I'm looking forward to this Pilsner.
The Pills, Bo Baggins, Bohemian Pilsner from Crooked Crab Brewing Company in Otterton, Maryland. 4.9% ABV, Do you have an unquenchable thirst from scaling the slopes of Mordor? Satisfy it with refreshing pils. Bo Baggins, our first ever Bohemian Pilsner, brewed with Pilsner and Vienna malts for crisp, clean, and drinkability and a 5-plus charisma. Fermented colder than the peaks of the Misty Mountains with a traditional Czech lager yeast, then hopped exclusively with Czech Saaz for a delicate, floral, spicy, noble hop character. Drink responsibly because you have a long journey ahead of you.
That was a long description for this beer.
But I was watching Jilly pour Mordor. This, and it's gorgeous. It was, which is one I want
so
to build.
So clear,
it.
Man. So clear.
That yellow gold.
Yeah.
It does look very good.
It's very titillating.
Oh, that's
good. Great. Tell us how you really feel there, you buddy. Know, make yourself at home.
It's a mid-episode hail. Wow. Yeah, you know, I always love describing our show to other people. It's like, so what do you guys do? And I'm like, we really lean into the microphone and just burp. And
we belch. Have a lot of gas.
You know? I'm like, you know, it's like, what was your plan? Is there really ever a plan? Like, you know?
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. That's clean.
So, this is a Bohemian Pilsner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that right. Kind of in that Pilsner Urquell style. I'm even getting a little bit of that. What I would call that little
hops all the way, man.
You know, normally if you say diacetyl in a beer, that's a bad thing. Right. But it's in just very low levels, it's good in a Bohemian Pilsner, which Pilsner Urquell has shown us.
Oh, this yeah. is.
And I mean, I'm getting that in this beer. Mm-hmm. This beer, mm-hmm.
yep,
really reminds me of that.
Oh, and that really delicate floralness that's there. It's just, yeah. It makes me so happy.
It's not overly bitter like German pils.
No. Yeah. Mm. No, those noble hops, the size. Also, just on the nose, just, and it's very faint, but there was just a little bready essence there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just really like that.
I think good old boy Mike's going to have to fire up the Sip, Suds, and Smokes jet and take us to Maryland.
Odenton, Maryland.
Yeah,
Maryland. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. They've gone 3 for 3 here for sure. And I have to say, this is the first pills that I've had that came along since the Edmund's Oast, you know, which was just such a fabulous pills. And granted, that was a different style. This is actually a Czech pills. Or, I'm sorry, this is a Bohemian pills.
Same thing.
More or less the same kind of deal.
But, wow, what a wonderful beer. And the Saaz is really in great harmony with everything here. I think the only thing this is really short of is being kegged and thrown in the back of my vehicle. So this is a really great beer. And I have to say, I'm just, in terms of quality and going 3 for 3 in this flight in front of us, man, yeah, I have to say, if you've not gone to Crooked Crab Brewing, you need to stop by and check out the full flight.
Yeah.
I would wonder on premises if you could get an unfiltered cask version of this.
That would be super.
You know,
that would be
and good. I have a feeling that they would probably
accommodate
do that.
Us.
Yeah. Like, I just, the vibe that I'm getting. So the current brewer went to school at UC Davis. So he's got a very strong brewing background.
The best.
And and I just have a feeling that, you know, that he's okay with this. And what I love, and again, when I was picking stuff, I was kind of like, oh, this is a Pilsner. Hey, this is great. Like, I wanted to think outside the NEPA box of all that I was seeing.
Yeah.
I love the fact that they are traditional in what they're brewing. You know what
they're
I mean?
So
and it's,
good.
And it's not, and I'm sure they have some trendy beers that are on tap as well. But for what I was able to get, I love the basicness of what they have and how well they're doing that.
I can't wait to see how their seltzers are. I mean,
yeah.
Great beer.
Wow. Okay. Well, the Pilsbo Baggins, we are going to rate a 5.
Good grief, man.
2 5s in a row.
It's a small sample size, but I think we can maybe guess that Crooked Crab's one of the best breweries in Maryland.
Probably. I mean,
yep.
It's pretty tough to go, you know, 3 for 3, you know, with this palate.
2 5s.
And, yeah.
Between those guys and the guys that make Natty Bo. I mean.
Yeah. You got to throw a Natty Bo.
Yeah.
So we talked earlier about letting the, you know, the oatmeal kind of warm up. I haven't gone back to it yet, but I think it's about time we just take a quick sip of that.
Okay. Oh, the aroma.
It has actually got better.
It's better.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so creamy, smooth, man.
So the thing that's kind of come back into this taste profile, on top of just, you know, this really wonderful, you know, roast, is there is a hint of like a Tootsie Roll.
Yeah, you know, there's 100%.
You know, you knew the sugars were going to come around. But again, they are not overdone.
Just this a is nice such a chocolatey,
oatmeal stout.
Enough hops in there to just balance it out.
Oh my gosh, that's still just amazing.
The fantastic texture, the texture on it.
Yeah, sorry,
killer.
I didn't want to forget and let everybody know that we really did go back and taste that after it's warmed up for about a half hour.
Yeah,
yeah, that's awesome.
Wow, yeah, that's. Oh, and how it's lingering on the tongue. Oh,
yes. My battle such cry.
Yes.
I think I need a road trip to Maryland.
Dave's thinking that's a cry for
him. I'm just hoping Mike's belch doesn't linger, you know, the way that beer did. Good grief.
I just need a plate of oysters and just a sign that says,
I don't think you do.
Go away, Dave.
All right. We got two left. So either pick A or H.
A is for apple. It's good enough for me.
Okay. So A, please.
A is also for, never mind.
A is for the session, the Monowee Session IPA from Kushna.
The Monowee Session IPA from Kushna Brewing Company in Williamsport, Maryland. 4%, just in time for the dog days of summer to come around. We came with the ultimate crusher to help carry you through the heat. This small IPA is dry hopped with Amarillo, Citra, and Azaka. All the hop or aromatics and flavor you'd expect in a better beer. I mean, in a bigger beer. Just in a light low ABV package.
Rude.
This is why I don't get hired for voiceovers. So
it's one of the reasons.
Yeah, one
can't
of many.
Can't imagine.
Got a gusher there.
Yeah, I'll take the high
pour. You're going to take the first foamy pour there.
Yeah, don't give the extra gas to Mike.
Yeah, right. Sure. It looks very good, you know, in the glass itself.
Nice aroma to it.
Yeah, nice aroma. Super.
Oh, very fruity.
Yeah.
Super light body. You know you're drinking a low ABV beer.
Cops
really
and
easy
apples.
Drinking. But it's like, unlike so many session IPAs that are just so light, they're watery, this one actually has a good mouthfeel to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This has a pop of tang, you know, almost like an apple-like quality on it, I think.
This says to me that they built this session IPA recipe from the ground up, and it's not a scaled down IPA
that
recipe.
That never works.
No,
never
no.
works. This
no.
is, yeah, this is enjoyable.
Yeah.
You could definitely crush a few of these.
Yep.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I don't, I think it was, the thing that was scary to me is that they used the word bigger beer in describing a session IPA. I'm like, oh man, this is going to be a sweet, junked up, hoppy mess.
Yeah.
You
know? But no, it's not.
Yeah. Everything's in proportion.
Yeah.
I think
it's very easy.
Yeah. It's that apple thing that almost the tart, you know, front of the taste profile that's kind of capturing my attention that I find that's very unique. There's a crisp, you know, kind of quality that you have about this. Mm-hmm. Probably if you had not told me this was an ale, I almost would have gone so far to say, it might be a lager.
Oh, man. I wish you hadn't said that because I was kind of thinking the same thing. And
wait.
I never enjoy it when you and I think the same thing.
What is going on here?
Wow, they've agreed twice.
Mike
today.
And I have officially been together for too long.
Oh, man. Please send help.
Wow.
Once is there a remediation class?
But I'm getting, you know, kind of a wheat beer aspect too as well.
Oh, yeah.
Just very dry and
it makes you wonder if they didn't throw in something like that to give it a little body.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, it's crazy, man. Like how many different things we're getting out of this little bitty 4% beer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot that we're getting out of this 4% beer.
Yeah.
Like a lot.
Wow.
Okay. Well, we are going to rate the Monowee Session IPA from Kushna a 4.
Yeah, I think they could have gotten lost in that, you know, really quick. It could have turned out very watery or felt like it was just a giant muted version of something.
Yeah.
Awesome flight. Oh, my gosh.
No. Good flight.
We need to fire up the G7 and go to Crooked Crab.
Crooked Crab. Yeah, I'm all for
that. Hang on. Let me call the pilot.
These guys are making great beer.
Yeah they are.
I think some of the other ones are pretty solid, too, though. Yeah,
beer we've had has been really solid.
Done to know what their distribution, you know, footprint looks like, because they need to expand whatever they're doing.
Straight to Nashville.
Yeah, we'd be okay with that. Well, that's going to do it. And I have to say, this has been a really great,
interesting
flight. Wow. Yeah.
I feel like we're just getting started.
I know, right? All right. Good old boy, Kendall. Thanks for being here.
It was a pleasure being here.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
And cheers to that. Good old boy, Mike.
Hey, thanks for joining us here on Sips Out of the Smoke Show. This episode, come back and join us for another exciting episode. I will ask you to keep on sipping.
Reverend Mark, thanks so much for being here with us.
Great to be here today, as always.
Good old boy, Dave.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
But you are home.
He hasn't used that one in a while.
I know. Digging out from the archives.
You were all due.
I'm due, all right.
This is good old gal Juliana. Thanks so much for joining us today. Cheers and keep on chugging.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Tanhand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
You can deny all the things I've seen. All the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there.
I want to believe.
Hi, this is David Duchovny, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby.
This is Bird Note. And this is a sagebrush sparrow singing from atop a big sagebrush. As their name suggests, sagebrush sparrows live in dry, open shrublands. They winter in the desert southwest and migrate as far north as central Washington to breed each spring. About the size of a junco, sagebrush sparrows are dressed in soft grays and browns. You'll often spot these dapper birds singing from a high perch, making it easy to view the distinctive patch of dark feathers at the center of their otherwise white breast. Performance complete, the little bird hops back to the ground to forage for seeds and bugs with his flock. Look for them running rapidly about, with tails cocked up like scampering chipmunks. The sparrow's plaintive song seems to convey a sense of their precarious future in the West. sagebrush sparrow populations have declined by more than 50% since 1970, largely due to habitat loss from urbanization, agricultural conversion, and wildfires. To support our remaining sagebrush sparrows, we have to protect the landscapes they call home. Learn more about sagebrush conservation at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.
Broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Ryan Reed is from the Karuk, Hoopa, and Yurok tribes in California. Growing up, he learned how his people long used intentional fire to keep landscapes healthy.
But we were never able to actually go out and do those things.
In the early 1900s, states and the Forest Service began mandating that all fires be suppressed, effectively outlawing indigenous fire practices. The Forest Service has since reversed those policies, but their legacy remains. Many areas are overgrown with trees and brush that fuel severe fires, and the risks are growing as the climate warms. In 2020, after a deadly wildfire near his home, Reed became a wildland firefighter with the Forest Service, a job he held for 4 summers. He says at times it felt contradictory.
Fighting fire for an agency that have historically marginalized and oppressed my people.
But he wanted to help keep people safe. And now he's tackling the root of the problem by helping reduce the risk of intense fires. He co-founded Fire Generation Collaborative, a youth-led organization. The group educates people on the beneficial uses of fire and advocates for indigenous land management practices to build a more resilient future for all. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
divert.